Because what we're doing is, when you're looking at how God would have us to be conformed to the image of his son, it's not something that we just, that doctrine is just poured in your head and you just automatically know all at once how to live on to him. And not just live on to him, but be conformed to the image of his son. And we're going to take a look at some of those things and how you can allow that doctrine, how you can be that living epistle, and how that not only the doctrine will work in you, but actually you'll be of the Spirit. And we're going to look at that. But if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7, and we'll get ourselves underway here. And what we're going to do is look at the last verse of Romans chapter 8, 7, and then we're going to work our way on through Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7, let's look at verse 25. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to stop there. And that's what we're going to be looking at, that the idea of the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We're going to see how that's possible, how we can make that known. And we've seen earlier, and we've been looking at, what Paul meant, what Paul means when he talks about the laws. He says in verse 25 of chapter 7, he says, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. And I'm bringing this to your attention because it's going to be vital that we see this later on, because you're going to see Paul use other terminologies of the law of God or the law of sin and what those mean, what those meant. And we know they meant the oldness of the letter and the newness of spirit. And it meant law, and it, law and sin, and it meant grace. We now are under grace. We are serving grace. We serve because of grace. Verse 4, when it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, when it says might be fulfilled in us, what that's saying is that as long as you walk according to the Spirit and are led after the Spirit, it will be fulfilled in you. Because that's why it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's why that word might is there. That's not saying once you become justified, you're going to automatically walk according to the Spirit, or that the righteousness of the law is going to be fulfilled in you. Only way the righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in you, meaning the only way the righteousness of the law of God, which is the law of the Spirit of life or the law of Christ or the law of grace, that's you operating upon grace in your functional life, the only way you can bring forth righteousness and show that to be righteous is when you do walk after the Spirit, when you do walk after the will of God in your daily life. And how you do that is you're not going to kill someone because the law said you're not supposed to. You're going to not kill someone because your response is going to be that's not consistent to who I am in Christ. That's why I'm not going to kill someone. That's why I'm not going to steal. That's why I'm not going to do the other things that people see. The law is not constraining me. grace is constraining me. Love and peace is constraining me. My knowledge and the will of God is constraining me. My wanting to bring forth fruit unto righteousness is constraining me. Some people use it in a sense, some people, when they walk in the flesh, they say, well, I'm not going to kill because I don't want to go to hell. And these are people that go to church every day, but they don't understand justification. So this is the terminology. They assume that they'll go to hell. Or even the ones that are justified feel that they are not doing these things because the law said so. And they have to live their life based upon the laws. But then they'd have to do all of them, all 613. So it's a grace-motivated reason why you are not living your life under the oldness of the letter. Now let's come down to verse 5 here. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now you notice the change? How Paul says, when he said after, and they that are after the flesh, and then he says do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And you already know, you already know he means that, but they that are after the Spirit mind things of the Spirit. Even though he doesn't say mind right there, you know that's what he's talking about. These are things that we ought to have in our minds. These are things that ought to be minded by us. And when you mind something, you are actually making it your way of life. And that's what he's talking about here. You know, and when you see certain things like the law of sin or servants of sin, or that we can bring forth fruit unto death, you know, we need to realize who's the actual mover and shaker. Who's the one behind this deception? We have to understand who our opposition and our enemy is. Now, we know we can also be our own worst enemy because we're the ones that can become servants of sin. We're the ones that can bring forth fruit unto death. So, yeah, we are our own worst enemy. But also, Satan is the mover and shaker. He's the one at opposition. And then this is something that we need to be mindful when we're looking at things like this here and having our mind full of these of this issue here. Because this is something that we look at. And when you notice another thing here, Paul's going to tell you when he's telling you about minding this. Now watch when we come down here to the next verse here. Let's pick it back up here in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you notice Paul says in the flesh in verse 8 and in the Spirit in verse 9? See, this is because once you mind something, it becomes a way of living. See, before Paul said after the flesh, then he would say after the Spirit in verse 4. Now he says, after he mentions the issue of the minding something, now he says in the flesh in verse 8. And you're going to notice in verse 9, he's going to talk about, and after this, he's going to say in the Spirit. And let's see that, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, then this body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, let's stop there, but see, when you're in something, this is something that you become involved with. You're identified with this now. And see, this is because once you mind something, it becomes the way you're living. It becomes something that you align your thinking towards. This now becomes the law with you. This now becomes the law with you. It becomes a law. Because this is how you are, what you are conformed to now. And that's why you see Paul begins to talk about the mind, or minding the spirit, or minding the flesh. See, he can now say this based upon what you now have been taught. He knows that either at this point, right now, you should either be in the flesh or you should be either in the spirit. It's going to be either or. And that's why we have to take notice of this different style of teaching that Paul gives us. And we have to understand what we are up against in our sanctified lives and how there is a sense of structure of teaching. There is a milk-to-meat progression as we go along verse by verse. And this is how you come to understand how Paul could say things like, I am persuaded that neither death nor height or life or angels or principalities and so on will separate me from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Or he could say that we're more than conquerors. Now, when you don't understand these vital doctrines, you're going to think to yourself, like, how can Paul even think that way? I know what I'm going through. How can I separate myself, my soul, from what my flesh is dealing with? Or separate my flesh from what my soul is dealing with? But these are the crucial doctrines that we need to understand, that we're being taught how to think, how to mind, or what to mind. And the things that we're supposed to mind is the things of the Spirit, things that we cannot see. We're supposed to hope. We're saved by hope. And we're supposed to hope for that we see not. And this is what we're being taught here. And like Paul says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And as long as we're walking in our flesh or doing things to cater to our outward man, the only man you're going to please is yourself. You're not going to please God. You're going to please yourself and Satan in this world. This world will embrace you all the more. This world will embrace you and the things that you're doing because you're now conforming to the world. You're now doing things its way. And this is what it means by when it says the carnal mind, when it talks about verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Because the carnal mind is going to think the way this world thinks. And when you're carnally minded, that means that not only are you walking after the flesh, but you have learned to think for the flesh and with the flesh. In that sense, you become carnal, a carnal way of thinking, carnally minded. And when you're thinking that way, again, that's that enmity against God. And it says, for it is not subject to the law of God. And we've seen what the law of God was. And to be subject to unto it, that means to be under subjection unto the law of God. That means God's will, God's way. The way God would have you to do things in this dispensation of Gentile grace that we are living in. We're supposed to do things based upon grace, upon love. And we're going to see that a little later on. In a few minutes here, we're going to see about the love with the law of God and how we can fulfill the law of God. And, you know, when it talks about this, because this deals with your functional life, not your It has nothing to do with your physical life or your eternal life, but your functional life. When I say physical life, I mean you can lose it or you can live your life in many ways. But when ones that are atheists, they're already Satans. But you have ones that are saved, there's ones that think they're saved, and they try to live their function, they try to live their life unto God. Well, they're already his, they're justified, the ones that are, but they're living it onto functional death. Well, matter of fact, let's come over to Romans chapter 13, and let's look at how the law is fulfilled in us. Romans 13, and let's come down to chapter, let's come down to verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, I used to have problems with this here because I used to say, wait a minute, fulfilling of the law, but Paul says we're not under the law but under grace. Then Paul comes and he mentions the commandments here. Not all of them, but he mentions some of them here. What's going on? You know, I used to wonder about that. But when Paul says in verse 8 here, he says, the law, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What he's talking about is the law of God, the law of the spirit of life. When you operate upon godly love because of grace, you are fulfilling the law, and that's the law of God. And then he says, for this, in verse 9, for what? For this, he means the law of God, the law of the spirit of life, the law of grace. Now he says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And see, that word comprehended, when you comprehend something, you understand it. You come to know it. And that's why he says it is briefly comprehended. It's an understanding that the saint now has based upon these commandments that you see here. And they all should be based upon what? He's going to tell you in the next verse. Love. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And one thing here, when it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When you're looking at it that as thyself, Paul's not saying that, he's not saying that, you know, when you love thy neighbor as thyself, you don't show love and charity to them based upon this. He's not saying you're supposed to show it based upon this world's way of life. Because this world's way of life of loving thy neighbor, they have their own system of loving thy neighbor. And see, some people would say, you know, well, I'll treat people how I want people to treat me. Or they'll say, you know, they take the old eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth thing, and they treat people the way that their outward man would be catered to. And let me say that again. You know, they want to operate upon how their flesh wants to be catered to. That's how they show love. They don't show love to others in this world based upon grace and peace. Like you see people when they give, when they see a homeless person or someone begging for change. And see, even the homeless people know Sundays around noontime is the best time to be out at the corners begging for change, because they know everyone's going to come and say, oh, let me give this money to this homeless person. That's a gold star for me in heaven. We're not supposed to show love toward our neighbor based upon what our flesh feels. We're supposed to do it based upon the doctrine of grace, love, and peace. You know, because a lot of people, you know, want to be treated great at all times. And they feel that this is not done. They feel they've been treated unfairly. And see, but that's the way this world walks when we walk after the flesh. We are told, we're supposed to love our neighbor after our spirit, according to the law of God and to the law of grace, based upon the love that was shown to us within our inner man. That's how we're supposed to show love to our neighbor. And that's how we're supposed to love thy neighbor as thyself. And not as, when it says thyself, it's not talking about as your outer man wants to be catered to, but as the new inner man. As the new inner man, that's how we ought to love them, as we are taught, based upon our inner man. We're supposed to give up of ourselves for others. And that's the way we've been taught. And again, verse 10, it says, therefore, what? Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's how we fulfill the law. And we've seen that when we looked at that over in Romans 8, chapter 4, when it says the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Well, again, might be. It's not going to be by all saints. A lot of saints, when they become justified, they're just content with just being justified. They're not content with wanting to get this far in doctrine. And I know the ones that are listening, you are saints that want to get this far in doctrine, and then some. But not all saints want to do or understand this type of doctrine. But this is how the law, when it says the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Over here in Romans 10, we're going to see other verses. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And this is the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life. When Jesus Christ came and said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, that's what he's talking about. He didn't come to destroy just to say that, see, you have to understand, Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, was righteous. He was holy, just, and good. And also the law itself, we see, the law itself is holy, and the commandment, holy and just and good. It served the purpose that it was there for, that the Jew would walk their sanctified lives by it. That would be their gauge. When they did not walk accordingly to the law, they were put to death. They were that soul was cut off from among the people, not from among God, but from among its people. And they had the courses of punishments they dealt with. They were punished. They were going through different installments of those punishments. The cursings of God got worse. They got plagues and so on and so on. But today, we walk according to the law of God. Let's come to Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at another issue here. Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at some of verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of these which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, you notice verse 16, it says, fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, this is contrary to fulfilling the law of righteousness. And, you know, we've seen that about fulfilling the law of righteousness. And that's what the study is talking about. The law of righteousness being fulfilled in us is something that we're taught, we're going over here in Romans chapter 8, verse 4. But fulfilling the lust of the flesh, this is contrary to that. And then Paul, you can see Paul's going to come down and say about contrary things like flesh lust against the spirit, spirit's lust against the flesh, contrary to one another, and things of that nature. But this is how you walk not in the Spirit. This is how you become contrary unto God, not just unto the Spirit, but unto the God, law of God. It says here also, notice another thing here. See, what we're doing is when you walk contrary to the righteous law, you notice how Paul says in the other place we looked at, and now here, he mentions the commandments. He mentions the oldness of the letter. When he said earlier in Romans 13, it told you about the commandments. Then over here in verse 19 of Galatians 5, it says adultery, fornication, uncleanness. It shows these other things you ought not to do, these other laws. That's the old. It's telling you about the newness of spirit versus the oldness of the letter. Another thing let's pay attention to is it says in the Spirit instead of after the Spirit here. See, this is because of the maturity of doctrine. And see, when we were in Romans chapter 8, it would say, first it said after the Spirit. Then it said, when you're carnally minded, you are in the Spirit. But notice what it says here. In verse 18, it says, you are of the Spirit. In verse 18, because Paul knows at this point here, you would have learned that proper doctrine about being after the Spirit and what being carnally minded is, and being or spiritual minded is, and being in the Spirit. Now, he's talking about you are of the Spirit in verse 18. And there's a reason why he says this. When he says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And that's talking about the law of Moses that he just told you about, or he's getting ready to tell you about the things about the works of the flesh, which are the law of Moses, and things of that nature. But of the Spirit, what that means is when you're of something, you become a product of it. You become that doctrine. At this point, you become the living epistle, which is the Word of God working effectually in you from the inside out. So again, you're not after the Spirit. you're not only are you after the Spirit, but you are in the Spirit, and not only are you in the Spirit, but you become of the Spirit as a mature saint. That's the way the doctrine is designed to work. A milk-to-meat progression in the Scriptures, and as we see, Paul uses this terminology here. And as he says, he tells you about the fruits of the Spirit, in other words, the benefits of the Spirit. And he says in verse 24 here, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." And notice you see the word affections here. Before in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, we saw lusts. Now, because as you mature as a saint, not only are there going to be lusts, but they're going to be affections. And the affections are different from lusts. See, the affections are something that affects your heart. It's something that you become affected by. It becomes the love of your life. The lusts are things that your flesh lusts after, their desires. But the affections are things that you become conformed to. You become minded towards. They become something that affects your heart and affects your conscience and things of that nature. Now, let's come to where in Galatians here. Let's come to chapter 6. Come down to chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye another one's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this is another couple verses here that sometimes get misconstrued here. Paul says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, he says, ye which are spiritual, and he's talking about ye which are spiritual minded, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. He means considering your inner man, the one that is of the Spirit. In other words, now you become an example. He wants you to be an example in showing brotherly love. Earlier when we saw in Romans chapter 13, we were shown how we ought to walk toward one another, how we ought to treat one another, giving up of ourselves. Here, you're being taught to be an example to others. You're taught to be ones that are, as he says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And when you do this, this is how you fulfill the law. Not only are you walking in love here, but you're doing it in charity, which charity is an act of love. So now, we've seen earlier when it said you can fulfill the law by walking in love. Now, this is telling you how to not only think like God does in godly love and charity, now you're doing something in a godly, agape love manner. And he says, lest thou also be tempted. And because this person here is tempted, they're tempted of this world, the person that is overtaken in a fault. And he's telling you, he's saying, consider thyself. Take heed unto thyself, the doctrine that is within the inner man, how the inner man is taught to be educated, and how he is taught to let the word of God work effectually within him from the inside out. And when that's not taking place, because the inner man is spiritually minded now, but when he's carnally minded, he can also be tempted. He can also be tempted by this world and Satan. Verse 2 here, bear ye another one's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And when you bear someone's burdens, what we're being taught here, meaning what someone else goes through, you go through. You know, you give up of yourself. You value and esteem others above yourself. That's what we're being taught here. And the reason why this is how the law of Christ is being manifest is because Christ himself did the same thing. Christ himself, he bared our burdens. He took our burdens upon himself when he died on the cross. He came down, he took the form of sinful flesh and died in our place. He gave up of himself. And this is why we're being taught this year. See, and when we bear someone's burdens, when we bear ye another one's burdens, what happens is you now become identified with him. You can now identify yourself with his situation using those terms there. We can, it can be similar to how it was when we became identified with Jesus Christ. Do you remember when we went over the doctrine in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, we looked at how we were baptized in his death. And then we were baptized, we died with him, and we were raised again with him. We became identified with Christ at that time. And what's being spoken of here is we're taught to bear another one's burdens. Fulfilling the law of Christ, which is also the law of God, is us doing things out of agape love. But the word Christ is being used here because we're supposed to look at things, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens because of what Christ did for us. Our thinking ought to go back to how we've been identified with Christ, how Christ gave up himself for us. And the least thing we ought to do with our neighbor or the ones that we are associated with, the saints and whatnot, is doing things out of agape love now, love and charity. Now you're learning to do things his way. And again, earlier we've seen how to think like he does when we walk in love. When we've seen it says, there in Romans 13, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. But you notice how it's in the progression of the scriptures. You get a little milk over in Romans, the foundational epistles. Corinthians give you a little milk, a little more, and you get to Galatians, and it progresses on. That's the way God designed his word to work with us. And see, what we do is we show the laws infallible design when we walk after the spirit of God's word. We fulfill it when we do this and show that it's supposed to produce what God designed for it to produce in us. He designed that an adult son and daughter is supposed to have the proper doctrine with him, within him or her, the way he designed. And the way he designed it is milk to meet progression. And this is how you become spiritually minded. This is how you walk after the Spirit, in the Spirit, and eventually you become a product of the Spirit. Now let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and then we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verse 20. And I want to take a look at this here to show there's Paul's talking about it. Again, at this particular time here, he's talking about the two different laws, the law of God and the law of Moses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at, verse 20 here. Unto the Jews I became a Jew. I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Now, again, this is another verse that, a couple of verses that I wondered about. But as he says here, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And we've seen Paul did that to King Agrippa. We've seen Paul do that to, we've seen Stephen do that. We've seen Paul do that in Acts 13. When he says he became as a Jew, he's not saying that he's doing the things the Pharisees did and he's going back to persecuting the Christians or washing pots and some of the other stuff that they did. He's saying that he would, when he gave them the doctrine, he would go back and show them out of the law. And he would take them to that law and show them that they couldn't even keep their own law, but their righteousness is in Christ. And that's why he says, that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law. He's talking about the law of Moses, as under the law, because Paul knows the law of Moses. He knows that that's done away with now. He said, as under the law, because that's what they think, that I might gain them that are under the law. See, these are the ones that have put themselves under the law of Moses or the oldness of the letter. This is what he's talking about here. And then in verse 21, he says, to them that are without the law, he's talking about the Gentiles, of course, as without the law, because he's going to explain that we know that the law of Moses is done away now. And they were without the law when that was the case. Then he says, he's going to be talking about the law of Christ, because he says, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. See, Paul is talking about two different laws here. He's talking about the law of Christ and the law of Moses. And this shouldn't be something that's hard to understand after we understand the doctrines of Romans chapter 7 and 8 here. Actually, Romans 6, 7, and 8, you now can understand these verses here that they're not so confusing when Paul talks about a law or when he says over in 1 Corinthians 14, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. These things should not be hard to understand when we see these things, knowing that, wait a minute, Paul said we are not under the law. So what does he mean, the commandments of the Lord? And he takes us back to the commandments many times when he mentions the commandments onto us. And we would think that, wait a minute, we're not under the law. Why is he giving us, he's even bringing these up and things of that nature? That's because he's talking about the law of God. Now, another one. I'm going to go to, let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 6 for time's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 5. I speak to your shame. It is so. Well, we know this is talking about judging one another, and it's talking about one that would have his father's wife and things of that nature. And people weren't walking the way they ought to towards this man, in judgment towards this man here. Verse 5. I speak to your shame. It is so. That there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law with one another. Why do ye not rather take it wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong, and defraud that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. But all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, when we're looking at this here, Paul talks about go to law with one another. And when he's talking about go to law, notice he said judging things. He mentioned the terminology about judging. And again, when we looked at earlier about how things can be when you're carnally minded or spiritually minded, it becomes a law unto you, the way you're doing things in a godly manner. And if these, like he says in verse 5, is there not a wise man among you able to judge between his brother? And Paul wants them to judge based upon the wisdom of doctrine and godly wisdom. But they're going to law in a carnal way. And Paul's going to say, when he talks about the justification, sanctification, and being washed, he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's that spirit of, that's that law of the Spirit, the law of God there. And then he talks about all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under any, under the power of any. And then he's going to talk about the idea that the Lord raises up by his power. And the idea here is when you do things of a carnal mind or of a spiritual mind, you bring yourself under subjection to it. And we've seen earlier in verses in chapter 7 and 6 and things of that nature, it talked about captivity, bringing you into captivity and things of that nature. And that's why I will not be brought under the power of any. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8 here. We're running short of time here. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 4 again. Verse 4, Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Paul says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we went over that. We went over that to show the issues of how you can become carnally minded and how you can become spiritually minded. And what the carnal mind is, that it's against God and this because it's not subject to the law of God. And it cannot be. And because it cannot be, your carnal mind cannot be, says so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, whether you think you are or not. You cannot do things your way or your church bylaws ways or the Ten Commandments ways or anything else. Let's go to verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Now that he's talking to ones that are spiritually minded. And we're to see this, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, when you look at this, it said, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, he's saying, if you're walking according to the law of God and you're allowing his word, the Spirit, to work within you, to judge things properly the way you ought to in a godly manner, to walk toward one another in godly love, to walk towards one another in godly charity. This is how you become, like it says, that's how the Spirit of God can dwell in you. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, if he's not his, whose is he? He's Satan's and this world's. In verse 10, it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And this is how you fulfill the law of righteousness. That's how the righteousness of the law is going to be fulfilled in us. And we've seen that. But again, it says in verse 10, if Christ be in you, which we allow his word to resonate within us, and we put on the doctrine, the law of Christ, the doctrine of Christ within us, and we start operating upon that, now that's how the Spirit of life is made righteousness. But it's shown through us. That's how we fulfill the law of righteousness, the righteousness of the law, is by us putting it on display and showing that law to be holy and the commandment holy and just and good. This is how we fulfill the righteousness of the law. Now I'm going to stop there. And next week what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. And when we're looking at verses 9 and 10, we're going to be looking at what Paul says here about how the Spirit of God dwells in you. And when he says, if so be, because it is a choice, but we're going to see about being the adoption and about us crying, Abba Father, when we get the adoption of sons in verse 14 on down. But we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10, and then we're going to be introducing 11 and 12 later on. But next week we're going to be looking at, again, verses 9 and 10. So what I want to do is I want to open things up for the Q&A session. So if anyone have a comment, question, please feel free to press *61. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, this is essential doctrine to go over, because it's vital that we understand how we can walk accordingly the way God would have us to walk. Because as you see here, if you are not walking like you ought to, if you are not minding the Spirit like you ought to, you're given over to your flesh. You're given over to sin. You're given over to Satan. And you cannot please God, but you're going to please someone else. You're going to please this world. You're going to please Satan and your flesh. And we can't constrain ourselves based upon the law, based upon our own sets of do's and don'ts, based upon our own church bylaws and things of that nature. Again, we have to do it based upon godly love and charity, based upon what we've seen Christ do for us on the cross. We ought to do the same to others out of godly love and agape love and charity. I'm going to go to the caller, last four digits, 3366. You're in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron Jones?
Pretty good. How you doing there, my friend?
Great, yourself. Yes, just a quick comment in between Romans chapter 8, where it said, for to be carnal minded is death. If that spiritual death is separation from God, is carnal minded. I know it's the flesh, carnal minded. Could you explain it to me just a little bit? Carnal minded, does that mean the death, separation from God, or just fulfilling your lust of your flesh?
Well, to be carnally minded, when he's saying to be carnally minded is death, he's saying when you're carnally thinking, when you're thinking carnally, meaning you're walking after, you're not only walking after your flesh, but you are actually trying to fulfill your flesh, and you are actually fulfilling your flesh. You are actually minding, you know, when we mind something, you know, you'll say, my kids, they're not minding me, or when you mind something, you put your attention, you put work, you put effort into doing that. So when it says to be carnally minded, it's talking about your carnal mind. It thinks about nothing but fulfilling of the flesh. And when you do that, you put your flesh to death. You put your functional life to death.
Right.
And that's how you can be enmity against God, because even though a person is justified, they can also be carnal minded.
Right. That's what I thought it was. So you could be saved, but you could still be carnal minded for showing your lust for your flesh, walking in the flesh.
Right. That's right.
And
that's
not
right.
Walking in the spirit, you know, doing not walking in the spirit. Right.
Right.
Because spirit and the flesh is an enemy to one another, and who's in the flesh can't please God.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to elaborate on that and your great teaching. I appreciate your teaching and everything. And I just want to say I love you and you all. And I just thank you for your teaching and sharing it with others. Also, I hope that they are tuning in too, Pastor Ron Jones. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Love you too. Thank you. Thank you. Love you calling in and all that. Appreciate your comments and your questions all the time. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, this is the understanding that we have to understand, because we're going to get to the point when we get out here in Romans chapter 8, when it tells you, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. When we get to that point about the sufferings of this present time, you're going to have to know how to deal with that, because we've all read the verses, but you're going to say, how do I allow myself not to grieve like this? How do I allow myself not to go through these sufferings? How do I allow myself not to go through this, what I'm going through? My soul is just overtaken in anger or sorrow or confusion or whatever the situation can be. How can our spirit step in, actually the Spirit of God step into our spirit, and say, and give that soul and flesh the doctrine that it needs to comfort it and to have a new way of thinking? But this is the doctrine that we're going over now that's going to assist you to be able to do those things. Because carnally minded is the way this world thinks. Spiritually minded is the way God thinks. And we're going over these doctrines now, and we're going to be doing that up until we get to Romans chapter 8:14, and we're going to see how we do these things, because we need to be led by the Spirit of God, and that's how you become a son of God and a daughter of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to close there, and